each of us has a handful of favorite psalms. And often it's just a snippet of a psalm that captures us, and suddenly we just know that's one of our favorites and no doubt will be for the rest of our earthly days. Today I want to reflect pretty personally on three psalm snippets that are my favorites. These three psalms have been soul food for me for years. They are Psalm 42 and Psalm 63 and Psalm 84. And we won't cover all the verses of each, just a portion of each. But I'm going to reflect out loud with you about, with each of these psalms, a time in my life when I was living that psalm. And so the first psalm I want to share with you is Psalm 42 and just the first five verses. Nothing on the wall today, so please have your Bible open in front of you. So first Psalm 42. And I realize that these are favorites of many of you. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude-keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Anne and I have had low days, dark days in our ministry life. I'm thinking about a time many years ago now. And I don't want to sound over dramatic about it, because you also have a ministry, and your ministry life has had highs and lows as well, and ours too. I can easily remember some real low days. And I remember that I just clung to the Psalms. I lived in the Psalms. And with almost half of the Psalms being what we have called lament psalms, psalms that say, Lord, things are bad right now. I need you, because things are bad. Almost half of the psalms are laments like that. So I had plenty of prayer material during those dark days. And Psalm 42 was huge for me. Let's face it, when life is painful, we run to God. We learn that early in our Christian walk, don't we? During my dark days, I yearned for intimacy with God. And I prayed a lot, and I prayed the Psalms a lot. And I prayed prayers like, Lord, all I have is you, and I need you. Be my strength, be my peace, be my joy. Hard times should always make us run to God. When we hurt, we crave time in the Word and prayer and fellowship and praise. And like the psalmist, during those dark days, I took encouragement from remembering the good times, the verse 4 type of good times. These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude-keeping festival. Aren't some of your best memories body of Christ memories? Mine are, and as we go along here, I'll share a couple real good memories with you. But on the dark days I would think about the past good days, times in the body, times that made me as a young guy want to be a pastor. But there are dark days. And with dark days in mind, okay, are we all in the same place mentally here? We're thinking of dark days. They might for you, they might be right now. Let's listen to these verses again from Psalm 42. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude-keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. There's no question that the psalmist is going through trials. My tears have been my food, and why are you cast down, O my soul? And he is doing what we have learned to do. In a trial, run to God. Trials cause us to run to God, to trust God, and to praise God. Trials make us want to be close to God. Pain makes joy very appealing. And we learn early on in our Christian life that the Lord brings joy. Trials bring pain, but trials are temporary. God brings joy, and God is eternal. So we hope in God, like verse 5 says. You know, as I've reflected upon this psalm this week, I'm thinking that God will very likely, strategically, use our trials to revive us as a family of believers. I've been involved in 7 churches in my life, just 7. A unique side point that I really love is that in my married life, we've been involved in 7 churches because when we got married, I was still in my boyhood church. I was still in church number 1. So Ann and I have shared all 7 church experiences together. I've only been a pastor of 2 churches, but I've been involved in 7 over the years. And never have I been involved in a church like this that was so solid and so suffering. You are walking with God, brothers and sisters, and you are carrying heartaches. You've shared them with me and with one another. And many of us are crying out for revival. We want to be recipients and channels of grace constantly from now until the Lord returns. How many people do you want to see come to faith in Christ before he returns? It's a silly question because we want to lose count. We want to lose count of how many people we will see come to Jesus through our ministry before he returns. That will take a work of God. It's not in me. It's not a natural thing for me to witness. It's supernatural every time. And I want it to be so much more in my life than it has been. We need a work of God. We need a revival. Expect God to use our trials to cause us to cry out to him. And if he would be so pleased, maybe he will sovereignly send a revival. Let's move on to another psalm, 63. So turn to Psalm 63 and let me read the first five verses. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. As in a dry and weary land where there is no water, so I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. Well, our most recent Briarcrest sojourn, I'm talking about Ann and me, our most recent Briarcrest College sojourn in Karenport, Saskatchewan, and I say it that way because we've had two Briarcrest sojourns. The first was 1978 to 1981. That was when and where we met, and we were married a year later. And then, as you know, after our last pastorate, we relocated in 2003 to Briarcrest to study some more, and we both ended up working at the college. Those years, 2003 to 2012, were busy and happy years for Ann and me. And I would pinch myself. I'm teaching at my alma mater. Teaching freshmen at a Bible college has to be the happiest teaching there is. And then the other half of my job was advising, so meeting with students one-on-one to help them choose a degree program and then help them semester by semester to choose the right courses so that they'd earn their degree when they wanted to. And for me, that was a kind of mentoring, and that was meaningful ministry. And then Anne got the job as bookstore manager. And for a book lover with a business brain, that was a dream job. It was 8 years of busy, happy ministry. But it was give, give, give. And when you're stuck in give, give, give mode, it's almost always your fault because you know better. We knew better. It was give, give, give. And we were not finding ourselves getting into a position where we could receive as well. And we knew better. Our actual church involvement. Now, we attended church, but we came, we listened, we left. Our actual church involvement was minimal. We just felt too busy to take on extra church responsibilities. So, like I say, it was Sunday morning, come, listen, and go. And my situation, my life as a Bible teacher, I was swimming in the Bible every day, and it was great, it was real, it was inspiring. But real fellowship for Ann and me was not happening. And then a friendship with another couple led into a Bible study. There was a young couple, he was a seminary student, she taught piano in the college, much younger than us, kind of like our kids' age, but they said, we are starving for time in the Word. And they asked if we'd join them for a Bible study. And Ann and I, after a few years of nothing like that, we didn't know how starving we were until we tasted and saw that there is nothing like fellowship in the Word. It was soul satisfying. And I think it's true. A lot of times, you and I just don't know how spiritually thirsty we are until we taste. We always left those Bible studies. They're just two couples. In the other couple's apartment, Ann and I always left saying, wasn't that good? So Listen to verses 2 through 5 again and think about how these verses happen most powerfully when we are together. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. Each of the Psalms we're looking at today talks about longing for and loving the temple, God's temple in Jerusalem. It's in the Psalms, it's Old Testament era. The psalmist is longing for and loving time at the temple. Now, the physical temple in the Old Testament is replaced by another temple in the New Testament. The New Testament temple is us, God's people. It's no longer about this building or any building. It's about us as God's people. Twice in 1 Corinthians it says, you are the temple of God. When what we love and long for is being together, that is where we experience and behold God, when we're together. Anne and I were in a dry and weary land spiritually for those early years at Briarcrest, and we didn't even realize it. And it was because one thing was missing, fellowship in the Word. We were walking with the Lord, we were attending church, but when it came to genuinely walking with brothers and sisters, Anne and I were pretty much alone. It's our fault, nobody else's. We knew better. The Bible is clear. We need to walk closely together. Anne and I knew we were missing out on stuff. We knew we were missing out on something. I think we thought we were missing out on just the dessert of the Christian life. The take it or leave it part of the meal. The sweet and tasty part, but you can take or leave dessert. We knew we were missing out on something by not entering in with brothers and sisters, but we thought we were just missing out on the dessert. We were missing out on real, vital nutrition that we could gain in no other way than by entering into other people's lives and walking together. Small gatherings in Jesus' name can make these verses a reality. It does not have to be formal small groups, but that is the purpose of our small groups here at church, and those small groups are fulfilling that function for many of us, myself included. Coming together humbly before God, coming together humbly with each other, and coming together to be intentionally in the Word together. And the other essentials as well, prayer and fellowship and praise. So are you thirsty? Is it possible that you are thirsty and not even aware how thirsty you are? Have you forgotten what thirsty feels like? You've got a taste. And see, being together intentionally around God's Word is satisfying to the soul, and nothing can replace it. It's God's plan for us. Now on to the psalm that I read at the beginning of this message, Psalm 84, and I'm just focusing on the first 10 verses. I know that's most of the psalm. 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs, and the early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. In most of our Christian lives, there was a time when spiritually things just took off like a rocket. Everything started to fall into place. The word and prayer, praise, fellowship became your lifeline. Can you remember a time in your spiritual walk where everything came together and you were growing and it was joyful? Those seasons of growth are what come to my mind when I read Psalm 84. And for me, the time in my life that comes most vividly to mind was when I was 18 and 19 years old. And it was our church young adults group. This was the late 70s, so every group in church had a corny name. It was required. If you were a group, you had to have a corny name. We were the Yes Group. Y-E-S stood for Young Enthusiastic Singles. We knew it was corny. We joked about it. We said, no, it's Young Eligible Singles. It was a big joke. And then people would say, no, it's Yearning Eligible Singles. You know, in high school, before I was in Yes Group age, I stayed on the periphery of the youth group out of silly shyness. I didn't jump in. I attended a bit, but I wasn't part of the group. I was an attender. You know, you can attend like this, or you can attend like this, you know. So I stayed on the periphery just because I was so shy. And when I moved into college age, I was asking myself, am I still going to stay on the periphery, or am I going to jump in? Now, the main activity of the Yes Group was Thursday night Bible study. And one of the folks in Thursday night Bible study invited me. And I jumped in. And it changed everything. I had wanted to grow. I wasn't rebelling at that time. I wanted to grow, but I didn't know how much I needed others to help me grow. And for those 2 years, and it's 2 years because after those 2 years, the Lord led me to Briarcrest and I was in another country. I couldn't attend the group anymore. But for those 2 years, the high points of each week were Thursday night Bible study and Yes Group Sunday school class. We had our own Sunday school class. And then our church really did up Sunday evening services. And it was the simplest but the best thing. It was just a few songs and then passing a wireless microphone around to whoever wanted to share. And we all, us young singles, all attended and loved it and often shared. And then after Sunday evening service, what do young enthusiastic singles do? It's only 8 o'clock. You go out to eat. And I remember a friend of mine who, by God's grace, came to Christ through my witness. He said, man, it costs a lot of money to be a believer. All those meals out. And now's a time in my life when I made some vital decisions to commit my life to God and to get right with people in my life whom I had offended and to go to Bible college. So think about the joy of walking together as you listen to these verses again, remembering that now the temple is us. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. And then this verse that You got to get a kick out of it. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Don't you know that the psalmist is right there at the temple, glorying in it, and he sees some birds that have nested there in the temple courts, and he says, those birds are blessed to have their nest at the Lord's house. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God, look on the face of your anointed, for a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. So let me just say it again. The temple now is God's people. So when the psalmist says temple, we think fellow followers, fellow believers. And in those yes group years, I would find myself saying, I love these guys. They mean so much to me. And that is how Anne and I feel nowadays with you folks. We love this family. It's like, for me, it's like the yes group all over again. You guys are like the yes group all grown up. And then verse 7. They go from strength to strength. What's that mean? Well, you know, they don't know where the Valley of Baca was, but clearly what's being described is everybody's heading for Jerusalem. They're heading for the temple, and they have to go through some dry areas to get there. But as they go, they're going with the joy of the Lord. They make the Valley of Baca a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. So they go. It says they go from strength to strength. I think it means they go from watering hole to watering hole, from spring of water to spring of water, moment of strengthening to moment of strengthening as they make their way to Jerusalem. And when our strength is in God, as verse 5 says it should be, we go from one experience of strengthening to the next. And when I was 18 and 19, I went from one yes group event to the next, each one being the strength I needed for the day and for the week. And is that how your experience here in this church family is as well? You got to get together because it's where the strength comes from. So as we close, pretend for a moment that your earthly days are numbered. That's a joke, and it's a bad joke. We all know that our earthly days are numbered. But pretend for a moment that you only have 30 years before heaven. Or pretend for a moment that you only have 20 years or 10 years. Or many of us are thinking the way things are going, maybe we all only have 1 or 2 years before Jesus comes. Don't we want these final years of our earthly life to be centered on Jesus? We have to do it together. We don't do everything the Lord wants if we try to do it alone. So, how do we do it? How do we center our lives on Jesus until He returns? By being together in the Word. By being together in prayer. By being together in real fellowship, sharing the journey, gathering together not like this, but like this. By praising Jesus together. And by witnessing together. It's all together stuff. God in His sovereignty, just look around a minute. God in his sovereignty for this point in our lives, and maybe it'll be the same until Jesus comes for us. Maybe my seventh church is my last church before Jesus comes. Maybe this is the church that you will be a part of before Jesus comes. We're in this together, and we need each other because that's how God made us, to need each other, to walk with Jesus together. And just saying, you guys make it pretty easy. It is a joyful journey to walk with people like you toward whatever he has for us. We're in it together. Lord, we all love you, and we all have sufferings and trials, and you are at work in each of our lives. We all need you, and as long as you keep us together as a family, we all need each other. So grow us, Lord. Grow us individually, yes, but grow us collectively as a church. Help us to take the guard down and to share our hearts with one another so that we can spur one another on to love and good deeds until you come. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God, and thank you, Lord, for making us members together of this particular part of your great, great family. You have blessed us with one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's a